May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a few years ago, I went tramping in the upper reaches of the Rangitata River. I had decided to drive to Erevan after finishing work early that day, and then to head along the Havelock River to Miss Dake's flat hut. Maybe that's an omen there, the name of the hut. Anyway, this being April, I knew that I probably would walk the final stretch in the dark. And true enough, as I was making my way up the river, darkness fell. At that point, I was a bit worried that I might not be able to locate the hut in the dark. If you know anything about tramping, some of the huts are often tucked away behind some of the sheltering trees in these flats, and the location on the maps is normally just approximate. So I wondered whether in the dark I would actually find it very easily. At that point, I had taken out my head torch to negotiate the stony ground, and then I noticed something up in the distance, a light up there in the valley. I switched off the head torch to see more clearly, and yes, there definitely was a light, and it wasn't moving. So I switched on my head torch again, now walking towards the light. As the night got darker and I got closer, the light shone brighter in the wilderness. By now, I was convinced that the light was coming from the hut. It looked as if it was coming from a window even. So with the light guiding me onwards, the final hour or so of the journey was actually quite easy. I knew where I was going, and I knew that I would find the hut. I just needed my head torch to light my immediate steps ahead, but I knew where I was going. Well, in the hut, I met two Department of Conservation employees who just that day had installed a new solar-operated light system in the hut. One of the first small huts to have this installed in the entire country. And it was there just on the night that I needed it. The two dock people were quite nice company for the evening and told me quite a few anecdotes that gave me a bit of insight into the department. So whenever I picture light shining in darkness, I remember that hut light in the Havelock River, how it guided me in the wide valley and the vast mountain landscape. I wonder whether you also had an experience of walking in the dark towards the light, of being guided to your destination by the light. I think it's that sort of imagery that's also behind the words from the prophet Isaiah. Thick darkness covers the people, and then there is light, a light to which people from all the nations stream. But this is not just a small lamp in the darkness or a solar system, but rather God's glory rising like the sun. It gives light to guide the way home, to see the world in its beauty and be in the presence of God, the source of all light and goodness. So here in Isaiah, this is particularly related to the exiles returning home and to people from all nations coming to the city of the Lord, finding their true home with the God of Israel. It's the fulfillment of Israel's role as blessing to the nations and God's mission to all people. When God comes to redeem his people, the world will also see God's glory and come to worship. So God's saving actions are an invitation to all people to come to the truth and to the glory of God and in him find their true home. As you may have heard the words, the joy there is really palpable. The homecoming is something full of laughter and joy. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. This is what coming to God feels like. Overwhelming joy. Last year, so just in the year past, I actually referred to this passage during a conversation at 5 o'clock in the morning one day. I was still in bed. Someone had rung to talk with me about the Jews, suggesting that they look down on the Gentiles and that the term Gentile is always used negatively. Well, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I wasn't that alert, but I quoted the verse of the Gentiles coming to God's light, mentioning that the Hebrew term goyim was used there. Clearly, this is an invitation, not a dismissal. As such, the term Gentile is not dismissive, but really to distinguish the Gentiles from the original covenant people. These Gentiles would join Israel in coming to the light and recognizing the glory of God. Yes, Israel could not become like the other nations because it was a holy people and couldn't deny God, but its role was to invite others to come to the light. It's important to remember that about the Old Testament, that it's an invitation, just as the New Testament as well. And I think you should remember that even when you're woken at 5 o'clock in the morning. So the wise men in the Gospel of Matthew saw a more literal light that they were following, a star, probably a star constellation, that indicated that the King of the Jews was born. And in that guiding light, they also came to the God of Israel. They came from the nations to the glory of God. By coming to see Jesus, they came to the light of the world. When they saw the star, we are told, and then the child, they were overjoyed. They worshipped the child and brought gifts. And so in an incipient form, they came from the Gentiles to the God of Israel, the God of the whole world, through this child. And after them came countless millions more who have found joy through Jesus, the child born in Bethlehem. Now, as you look at the ministry of Jesus, in many ways, he proclaimed the end of the exile that had come to an end through him. And so the coming of the Magi from the east underlines that point, even before Jesus began his ministry. So in these learned scholars from the east, the prophecy in the book of Isaiah began to be fulfilled. They were among the first to come from the nations to the light. And through that, they indicated that the new age had dawned. Through the ministry of Jesus, more and more were invited to this light, until through his death and resurrection, Jesus invited the whole world to come to God and receive salvation. In Jesus, the promises of God were fulfilled, and people have come to the light of God ever since. Of every nation, tribe, people, and language, they have come to God and will be with God through Jesus. To this day, we are invited to come to the light, to join in the homecoming and the joy that brings. Now, before I close, I just want to mention that this imagery of coming to the light from darkness was important centuries later in the Christian church. If you go to Geneva, you will see this monument there. One of them is Jean Calvin, the other one is John Knox, and two other reformers. But there it says in very big letters, post tenebras lux, so after the darkness, light. This was the motto of the Reformation, particularly the French and Swiss movements. For them, the light that once shone so brightly no longer was shining in the church. But it was not that the light had been extinguished, but rather that people had turned their back to the light and had gone back into darkness. For the reformers, the shedding of strange practices and superstitions at the proclamation of the gospel was a return to the light, a coming to the glory of God. Now, whatever you may think of the claim of the reformers, it's clear that humans often shy away from the light, that they may even walk away from it. At times, the darkness may appear more comfortable. But we really need not shrink back from the light, for that light brings joy and purpose, truth and beauty, and God's invitation still stands. The Magi were the first from the Gentiles to come to the light to see Jesus. When they found the child, they were overjoyed and worshipped Jesus. So may we also follow God's invitation and enjoy worship God through Jesus Christ. Amen.